Our topic is the gift of the spirit, healing. And boy, howdy, isn't it a big controversial topic, which many seem to struggle with. But the fact is, if we'd simply accept God at His word, it wouldn't be a struggle, would it? Inner healing, outer healing, big healing, little healing, long-term healing, deliverance healing. It's just such a polarizing topic for so many folks. Healing. But I gotta tell you, when it happens right before your very eyes, I mean you're standing right there and you are a bona fide witness to miraculous healing, it shakes something in you to your core. Just because we've had poor teachers does not negate the need for teachers. Similarly, just because we've seen some charlatans who manipulate people to appear as if they've been healed, doesn't negate real healing that happens. I'm convinced there are a lot of miracles that happen right in front of us and we don't realize what has just happened. I've personally witnessed many healings, and some were beyond my imagination of possibilities. It had nothing to do with a great crafted prayer. It had nothing to do with somebody with a big title, or being a leader, or something or other. Nor was anyone drumming up a lot of spiritual hot atmosphere while acting all drunk and saying ridiculous things. God did it. We were there, looking right at it. They were sick, and then they were well. They were missing fingers, and then they weren't. When you witness such things, you don't forget the profoundness of what just happened. I prayed for many people to be healed. I've seen some really miraculous stuff, and I've been so terribly disappointed. And what did not happen also, I just went and hid in a corner for a while. Many times I knew there was an anointing for people to be healed, and there have been a few times I'm pretty sure it was just presumptuous on my part. I prayed for people to be healed because that's what I understood church leadership wanted me to do, and nothing happened. Other times I prayed for people to be healed and, not to my credit, I didn't want to pray for them. Yet, regardless of my bad attitude, they were healed. When we get our eyes off ourselves, ceasing our obsession over ourselves and on to Jesus, that's a huge help towards being healed of our afflictions. Jesus is the healer. Healing happens because of who He is, not who we are. Healing. In August of 2012, Cutting Edge magazine did an interview with Robbie Dawkins. In the interview, Dawkins talks some about the Holy Spirit gift of healing referred to in 1 Corinthians 12:9. During the interview, he quoted John Wimber, who said,
"I had to pray for 1,000 people before one was healed." I also want to add that Mr. Wimber also said he'd rather pray for 1,000 and see one healed than pray for none and see none healed.
If you have practiced praying for others to be healed with some success, more than likely people will think you are somehow more special than others. After all, it is a very visible gift of the Spirit. Is it that those who pray for healing with some success are different? Maybe, but I think probably not. It's highly likely it's just that they try more often. Maybe the reason some of us see more spectacular stuff than others is that we're doing it more. But from my own life, I guarantee you my failure rate is the same as everybody else. Persistence plays a big part of practicing the Holy Spirit gift of healing. When your prayer doesn't work out, don't go do like I did. In your total embarrassment, just run away until God comes to dig you out of your self-made hole of hiding. Try again and again. Don't quit. I read about some ladies whose children had a play date one weekend, and one woman came in with an arm brace on and was also in pain. One mom, although she was reluctant to try, was brave and prayed for the Lord to heal the other woman's arm. After a moment or two, the lady's pain level dropped halfway. She pressed in and prayed again, and it dropped another quarter of the way. By the time she was done, the lady was only feeling a level 1 pain when she started out with a level of 10. This is Outposts, cool jazz and contemplative conversation, broadcast semi-live from the deck area of a rural cafe overlooking the long green field down to the Ocklawaha River, where the trees gently lean over the river's edge and every evening is pleasant. Come with me, sit back in your big arm chair, and let's ponder 1 Corinthians 12:9, the gift of the Spirit. Healing.
Healing.
Let the words wind around in your thinking machine, and let's see where God's word takes us, and I'll be right back. The idea here is to enter into God's idea of what healing is and not some rock star mentality of being popular, crowds chanting your name, and thinking more highly of ourselves than we should simply because we've met with some success. Being well, cured, made healthy, wellness by therapy, mended by stitching. Either way, being made well is a pretty tall order, even with all the best intentions of modern medicine. It seems an awful lot of people have little festering pockets of bad doctrine stuck in their teeth when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. Some believe the gift of healing can only occur at the hand of those in leadership, like the woman who was possessed. And all her Christian friends surrounded her, but they unanimously decided none of them was qualified to do anything about it, so they sent someone to get the pastor. All the while, the afflicted woman was thrashing around and carrying on. Mind you, it wasn't that they didn't know how, but that they saw themselves as unqualified. God said each one of us is capable of effectively praying for the healing and well-being of others, and we no longer have to go get someone special to do what God has asked of us to do. We, the people of God, have got to enter into God's idea of what healing is and hear His advice on how to go about bringing well-being to those around us.
Healing
is God-inspired. not gotten from an online course of how to do deliverance, where you're sent to 3-ring notebooks with crafted prayers and possibly causes that you can just look up and invoke, then everybody will be just hunky-dory. That cookbook method of healing is way too close to witchcraft, where you look up a malady in the index of a book of incantations, and as an example, turn to page 49 for curing stomach aches. Light a candle, mix a few herbs, read some magic words out loud 3 times, and poof, everything is right again. Psalm 103, 2-3 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases." The last word, diseases, literally means all our maladies, sickness, and grievances. The Lord is our source, not us in our rituals, law-keeping methods, and great words. Not everything is a demon-caused affliction. And I'd even venture to say, more than what we may care to admit, much chaos and calamity is born at our own hand. Getting deliverance is great and necessary, but at some point, most of us really, really need to do the work to find out what is in us and our thinking which got us needing deliverance in the first place. You know what I mean? It's not a bad thing to take antidepressant medications, but it's just dumb to only flip pills at our problems without also seeking private counseling with qualified, solid, Christian counselors to uncover and resolve what is going on with us, which is driving us down the long, dark hole of depression. I'm not saying don't take the meds as necessary. I'm just saying to do the rest of the work to actually solve the problem at its root cause as best you can. That is a therapeutic approach to healing. Trust God, He'll show you. Healing is rarely truly accomplished by going down a long list of possible hidden sins in someone's life and simply repenting. One time I had a headache that had been going on for a couple days, entirely not unusual for someone who has had sinus stuff go on all his life in the fall of every year. At the end of church, the call went out for anyone needing prayer for healing to come forward. Well, I thought for a change, I'd go up. The very first thing the lady who prayed for me did was rebuke the demon of headaches.
Come on.
Then she looked me in the eye intensely and asked me if I still had a headache, to which I warmly smiled and said, "Yes." I immediately thought to myself that I should have simply gone home and taken a nap, but nevertheless, that's not what happened. Then the lady pulled from her pocket a long list of possible unconfessed sins which I might be hiding, asking me if I was guilty of each one as she read them off. I replied,
"No, no, no, no."
And then she asked me if I was harboring any hatred towards anyone that I didn't know about. I thought to myself, well, that's just dumb. How can I know about hiding something if I don't know I'm hiding? Finally, it was obvious she was becoming quite anxious that none of her long list of cookbook deliverance methods was working. So I gently asked her to stop, and I asked if I could pray for her, which I did, and she was okay again. I went home, ate lunch, and took a nap, which actually solved my headache. Healing came through a practical application. Healing.
Healing.
I've had this idea in my head that says, the further away from being religious and super spiritual we get, the greater the response will be. If God's power is going to be seen in our churches again, we've got to be out in the world practicing our gifting beyond our church safe places, where it is highly unlikely we will be criticized much if we are not met with success after our prayer for healing is spoken. God may ask you to practice your gifting anywhere, anytime. So, are you available? It could be in a restaurant or at the gas station, or maybe while strolling through the park or mall. If you see someone in need and the Lord gives you the nudge to pray for them, take a chance and go for it. It reveals to the world that God's heart is for them to be well and whole, that faith in Jesus works and is relevant anytime, day or night. Be kind and gentle, and never just intrude on someone's person. I've had a saying in my pocket for several years now, and that is, carry your faith out to the streets, quit being safe, and take your faith to the lost and dying world.
Carry your faith out to the streets.
One sunny day, I was at a local farm supply store. And while inside talking to the manager, who was running the cash register that day, a car pulled up with a very elderly fellow in the passenger seat who was wearing pajamas and breathing from an oxygen tank. His wife came in to buy something or other, and the Lord said to go out and talk to the guy. On my way out to the car, the Lord spoke to me about my long-windedness and inclination to pray a lot of words. He said, "Get to the point. Your window of opportunity to speak into people's lives is typically going to be about 3 to 4 minutes max. Edit the essay in your head, learn to listen, and just hit the details I'll give you. Get to the point. Then give him a short prayer and let him be." It was sound wisdom, and that's just what I did. The elderly man wearing pajamas stayed in the car, and we talked through his open car window. He told me his wife had picked him up from the hospital to go riding around with her while doing errands. He was thrilled and smiling. He told me a couple great farm stories from his earlier years, how he now had emphysema and probably wouldn't be around much longer. I listened and we laughed some together. While holding his hand through the car window, I prayed a short 2-minute-sized prayer with him. Then I went back inside the store. Upon going back inside the store, to my surprise, there were several people standing inside watching, none of whom I knew. One lady was quietly weeping with joy. One man clapped his hands and laughed a happy laugh right out loud. Everyone said they'd been watching, and it was just wonderful. They said it seemed like the sun got brighter as they watched, and the world sort of sparkled. His wife hugged my neck weeping, thanked me, and left. For some reason, I was suddenly so embarrassed, I shuffled off gracefully and left. I don't think I ever did buy anything, but after that day, I seemed to have some sort of special grace with the workers and management at that farm supply store. There was healing of all different sorts that happened that day, all at once, through the simple obedience of one simple man. Interesting, huh? Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit.
Healing.
Healing isn't always about huge, dynamic, dramatic events. The gift of healing has to do with our head, heart, and grace. It's as much curative medicine as it is concrete deliverance. It's as much about mending by stitching together as it is speaking forgiveness to a bruised, and condemned conscience. When people are ill, afflicted, suffering, impaired, depressed, or grieved, and it just seems to go on and on for them, hope can become easily dislodged from their grip. Hope is hard to find when it gets locked out of your heart. But maybe, just maybe, when left to itself, hope has a way of letting itself out of the prison cell we've built for it. Exercising your gift of healing is one of the keys to opening hope again for those who just don't see it any longer. I know it's uncomfortable, but this is a fact. The darker the environment, the greater are the possibilities to see powerful things happen. The darker the environment, the brighter the light, and in a very dark room, even the smallest light can seem like a beacon. I'm saying, don't fear the dark. Look, darkness has no weight, whereas light is measured in tons per square inch at the surface of the sun. There is no such thing as a dark meter, only a light meter. Darkness is only measured in the sense of the absence of light. Darkness has no weight or any more momentum than we allow. It doesn't have frequency, time, or magnitude. Only light does. Our fear of the dark is almost always about what might be there, rarely about what is real. God's idea of healing does not include the saying used in the medical field, calling most procedures the standard of care, which seems to mean,
this is what we always do, regardless of how ineffective the procedure might be in the long run.
Every person we meet and pray healing for is unique, and only the Lord has the inside scoop on what's needed to make them well. The Lord never shrugs his shoulders at us and says,
sorry it didn't work, but this is what we always do.
And while we're here, what do we mean when we say someone is made well or is healed? There is a large gulf of difference between just not being sick anymore and being made whole. It would appear many are satisfied with simply not being sick anymore, but I can assure you God intends for us to live in so much more than just not being sick. I'd like to add, though, when you're dreadfully ill, simply not being sick anymore is very attractive. Supernatural healing has nothing to do with your ability to be obedient enough to deserve it. Gosh, I hope we get that. Listen. Supernatural healing has nothing to do with your ability to be obedient enough to deserve it. That would facilitate the very poor teaching that says, do good, get good, do bad, get bad. Again, that is called retributive theology, and that is not love. Do you believe your healing and well-being are directly dependent on your ability to be obedient? For some odd reason, I was under the impression that salvation and healing was the gift of God, like Ephesians 2:8, where it says, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. The Lord heals who He heals, not just because someone is worthy. If only good people are healed and go to heaven, then no one would be healed or go to heaven. Why? Because there aren't any good people. Romans 3:22-23. For there is no distinction. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. I met a believer who said he was ill and going in for surgery. I asked him what he thought of prayer and healing. He looked at me. He got a wild look in his eye and backed up a couple steps looking like a deer in the headlights and then said,
oh, I don't know about that. I'd have to get a long running start on my faith to make it up that hill.
He didn't see himself as worthy of God healing him, and in his mind it was not possible to see the goodness of God through his grid of shame that he constantly held up in front of his own eyes. And how about when people say to you,
if you only had more faith, you would have been healed.
Man, that just makes my right hand just want to start knocking people around. If you only had more faith, you would have been healed. Come on. Jesus healed people of all levels of faith, some with none, some with lots. And neither did he stop to ask them their denominational affiliations, nor did he check to see if their doctrine lined up with his. He didn't require they answer a lengthy questionnaire or fill out an application. His requirement was that they show up in one form or another. The supernatural Holy Spirit gift of healing is to be enacted upon whomsoever the Lord points out to us. Practicing our gift of healing is as the Lord directs, not in our deciding who is worthy or qualified.
Healing.
It truly is difficult to hear God when we have a personal opinion of right and wrong. Friends, let me encourage you to fan into flame the gift of God in you, for For each one of us has their own, one of one kind and one of another. If the Lord said there are Holy Spirit gifts of the Spirit, then there are. And who are we to re-decide that isn't true? I'll say it again. Just because we don't believe what the Lord says doesn't change anything He said. It just means we don't believe it. The Lord may not have given you the gift of healing, but I can assure you He has placed in you a special gifting. If He said it's true, then it's true. It is there. You may think you're not one of the big five as mentioned in Ephesians 4, but it's the truth. And hear me on this. Just because you have a different calling and gift doesn't mean you have a lesser calling and gift. God indeed placed some for His own use in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, then gifts of healing, also those whose ministry it is to help others, and administrators, and different languages. Everybody is not an apostle. Not everyone is a prophet. Not everyone is a teacher. All are not workers of miracles, nor does everyone have gifts of healing. It seems most people are really looking to have some great dynamic gifting, one which puts them on a stage and validates them. But the idea is to go with God, not get what you want. If the truth be told, the big five of Ephesians 4 are all considered servant gifts. They are for the blessing and benefit of the body of Christ, for service to others. They are considered deacon gifts. It seems so many want so badly to have one of the big five. But let me suggest that we just be who we are and do what He gives us, and life will be just fine. Prophecy requires faith. Ministry requires waiting as a servant waits. Teaching, which is a technical ministry, requires doctrine, principles, rules, order, and decrees. Exhorting requires Holy Spirit passion. The gift of giving requires a heart of simplicity. Leadership requires long suffering, compassion, diligence, consistency, and not slothful in business. And mercy requires cheerfulness, rejoicing with those who rejoice, and weeping with those who weep. Those are all gifts, attributes God gives to us to be operated at His discretion wherever He leads us. To be more specific, the healing of the sick was a dominant part of the ministry of Christ and also of the disciples. Matthew 4:23 says, Jesus went all over the place teaching and preaching the gospel, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Healing. And to reiterate, healing was a prominent part of His ministry. Some folks call the gift of healing as having a certain faith. Paul the Apostle seemed to have a certain faith, so that many people were healed as a result of his ministry. And yet, Paul wrote to Timothy and suggested that he take a little wine for his stomach's sake because he had stomach problems, which was a practical approach to healing. I'm pretty certain Paul, no doubt, prayed for Timothy, and when God didn't supernaturally heal him, Paul suggested a little wine for his stomach's sake. There is all sorts of different types of healing. As example, there is stitching up an injury and applying antibiotics type of healing. We can't be so supernatural we neglect practical well-being and healthy choices. Or how about curing by therapy, therapeuo, being the Greek word used 44 times in the New Testament. There is healing which comes by simply cutting someone some slack, and also by God's reinvigorating us. How about deliverance healing? Oh yeah, everybody loves talking about how they went and got a sozo somewhere. And there is also healing by simple kindness, as in Proverbs 21:14, which says a secret gift subdues anger. There is healing power concealed in our mouths. Our words go far and wide. In Proverbs 3:8, the word for healing more exactly means spoken grace from a unified head and heart nailed together with the power of kingdom faith. Now there's a concept of healing I'd love to see poured out on the world, wouldn't you? Take this gift seriously. Practice your gifting for the glory of God. Remember, it's better to pray for 1,000 and see one healed than it is to pray for none and see none healed. And think about it. Comes in a wide variety of colors. And in light of that, I do believe that within the gifts of healings, God can and does use medical science today. I believe that God has given to researchers a lot of insight and knowledge about the chemical makeup of the human body and how it all works.
Wow, did you see that?
If the Lord didn't give them insight and understanding as to how our bodies work, they wouldn't have it. I believe he has given us the intelligence and molecular design of many healing drugs and surgical procedures for the purpose of bringing healing to the sick. God has compassion on the sick, and through the study of the life of Jesus, it is easy to see Jesus consistently displayed compassion.
Compassion.
If a person cannot be healed just through prayer, then God has provided people with skills to diagnose, operate, and give prescriptions for medicines that will help people in their sicknesses. It is true, not all people in the medical profession have our well-being at heart, but I promise you, God does, every time. I believe it is obvious that the Lord brings us healing by natural and practical methods, and by human and supernatural means in order to help those who are ill, and I mean ill in any capacity, whether it is mental, emotional, physical, or spiritual. Jeremiah 8:22. Isn't there a balm in Gilead? I believe he's emphasizing the availability of his healing power for anyone and all the whomsoevers that would have it. I'm Social Porter, and this has been Outposts, Cool Jazz and Contemplative Conversation, addressing people about 3 inches below the surface of their presentation face where they really live. All support was by Living in His Name Ministries. Area 22 Guitars in Brevard. He's a good one, that guy. Miller's Laundry. The girls at the Jump Off Rock Gift Store. Frank at WHKP Morning Show. And, of course, Jeff and Karen, our beloved friends at Trinity Bakers, where there's always something good in the oven. All music use is licensed through BMI and was provided by Christoph Lauer, the Dancing Fingers of Edison West, Lars Danielson, Zoller, Kusevic and Carlson, Andreas Wohlenweider, Klaus Doldinger, Marcus Miller, and Trevor Gordon Hall. Healing. Jesus Christ suffered not only for our sins, but for our sicknesses. He bore our sins, true, but He also bore our sicknesses. He was chastised for our peace, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and by His stripes we are healed. So, I will continue to pray for the healing of others in whatever capacity God leads. I will take my losses for those who aren't healed and be blessed for those who are. I'd rather pray for 1,000 and see one healed than pray for none and see none healed. Healing. Drive carefully this week. The weather creates some treacherous driving for some folks this time of year. Pray for your neighbor. Open your mouth and speak healing and grace. Spending quality time with your family is also a kind of healing, so be encouraged. Share yourself with others and be healed. Amen? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about for sure. And I'll talk to you next time. Amen. Thank you.